Greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord. Thank you, Brother Justin, for those thoughts. It has caused my heart to just worship at the amazing God that we have. Tremendous. If man was to try to come up with something of that sort, it would never work or function, would it? In that way. So we have an amazing God. We have an amazing God. And you made a comment there towards the last that says that, and he wants us to serve him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I feel that's where we want to go from here this morning. So yeah, thank you for sharing that. That was just tremendous. My soul was edified tremendously. Could we rise to our feet for a word of prayer? Oh God, this morning, truly we have to say that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's no one in all the universe that could come up with something like this that would function and have life and have the ability to move and think. Lord, we are amazed at you again this morning. What an amazing God that you are. Lord, you have made us in this way so that our lives would reflect you, that our lives would bring glory and honor to your name. And this morning we want to share a few thoughts on this line, Lord, and I pray that you'd give, that your spirit would be here in our midst, Lord, and that it would quicken the words, your word, Lord, that it would quicken it into our hearts, that it would find place, that it would bring forth fruit in our lives. Father, I pray that you'd keep my tongue from saying things that are not necessary and say the things that need to be said, Lord. And so I pray, God, just have your way, first of all, in my own heart, my own life, Lord, and then in all of us together, Lord. And may the service today, may it bring our hearts closer together. We just bless you and exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So this morning for a text, we want to turn to Romans 12 and we want to read the first two verses. As I was in Bolivia, I didn't know that the word sacrifice just kept coming to my mind over and over again. And I really didn't know why or it just kept coming back to me. And then I was pondering that as pondering the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. What he has sacrificed for us and what little I give back to him. My mind went many different ways. I had to think of... my mind was... There's kind of two messages that I wanted to run together in my mind as I started pondering of what God wants me to share this morning. So we're going to look at one aspect, and that is this morning, and the presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. Maybe in another message, we'll look at it in a different way. We'll see how the Lord would lead. But let's read verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. And it says this: I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As we think of a living sacrifice, we don't actually think of what we're thinking because we're used to hearing these words, a living sacrifice. And if you stop and think about it, it's kind of an oxymoron. How can you have a sacrifice and be living? Because when we think of sacrifice, it's something that is dead, right? Something that has given its life. And Paul's telling us, or begging us, that we would live our lives as a living sacrifice. How can something be living and dying? Or living and dead? Kind of stretches our minds a little bit maybe this morning. But God has, it's God's heart, it's God's design that we would surrender our hearts, that we'd be a sacrifice in this world that we live in. Something that is dead and yet living. Is that possible? Paul's telling all Christians, I mean, the letter was to the Romans, but the Bible's wrote to all of us, to live this way. It is only our reasonable service. It's only our reasonable way of living. What goes on in my heart when I see, you know, something that I can't, it's a little different than what I would like to see. What goes on in my heart? Am I okay with it? Can I lay it down? Or do I have to prove a point? Before we get into that part of the message, I want to just again read this, these two verses, and then I want to turn to Leviticus 22 and start reading in verse 17. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I'm going to turn to Leviticus chapter 22 and start reading in verse 17. The thing that I don't think that we really, when Paul wrote this passage, he remembers sacrifices. He remembers seeing sacrifices. He had a picture in his mind when he wrote this, these verses here, that we probably don't take in consideration what he actually might have seen or had in mind. So let's read Leviticus chapter 22, verse 17 unto the end. And it says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and his sons, unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, Whatsoever be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers in Israel, that will offer his oblation for all his vows, and for all his free will offerings, they will offer it unto the Lord for a burnt offering. Ye shall offer at your own will a male without blemish of the beeves and of the sheep or of the goats. But whatever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer. It shall not be acceptable for you. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offering unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in the beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurry or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord. Nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, thou mayest offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God to any of these, because their corruption is in them and blemishes be in them, and they shall not be accepted for you. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When a bullock or a sheep or a goat is brought forth, then it shall be 7 days under the dam from the eighth day, thenceforth it shall be accepted for an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And whether it be a cow or a ewe, ye shall not kill it and her young both in one day. And we will offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving unto the Lord. Offer it at your own will. On the same day it shall be eaten up, and ye shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallowed you and brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. And I don't know if Paul thought of this scripture here when he wrote that we should offer or present our bodies as a living sacrifice to the Romans or not, but I tend to believe that he probably did. And the other thing I want to say is, as we think of our lives being a sacrifice, and some of us might have some physical bodies that could have a blemish or something isn't right in it, it is not talking about that. It is not, let's not take that away from, it is not talking about that. Our bodies, God wants us to give us our bodies as a living sacrifice. So when the children of Israel were to bring an offering, what was the first qualification? Without blemish. I have down it was to be brought with their own will, a free will. It was to be a voluntary offering. It was to be a voluntary offering. It was to be brought. It had to be something that came from their heart. And it's still the same way this morning. If you're willing, offering yourself as a living sacrifice, that is what is pleasing to God. If we do it to be seen or because I have to, God doesn't receive glory in performance. So Paul is encouraging us here in Romans and to give our lives as a living sacrifice. You know, fighting for my way, making excuses, telling others what I sacrificed is really not willingly, or at least not a pure offering. It's not something that comes from our own will. And I also, as I think of sharing, as I think of preaching, one of the greatest fears that I have is that I come across like I'm preaching toward a certain person or something, and I never want that. I never want that. And if anyone ever feels that way, and anything that I share, I want them to have the freedom to come to me and share that with me, because I don't want that in my life. I don't. So the offering that was to be chosen had to be without blemish. In verse 21, at the kind of there in the middle, it says, and it shall be perfect, talking about the offering, it shall be perfect to be accepted. So in other words, anything outside of being a perfect lamb, God didn't like. He hated it. The offering was to be clean, perfect, whole, or complete. It couldn't be lacking anything. So why was God so particular with what offering they brought? You know, this morning we have here in verse 31, it says, "Therefore shall ye keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord." We heard about commandments this morning. There's something beautiful that we get from just simply obeying. We might not understand the command, but there's something beautiful that happens when we just simply obey. And that is, God didn't want anything that wasn't holy. So did Israel, how did Israel do in this? Did they obey? No. Did they profane his holy name? They did. Now, not all of Israel, but as a whole, that was the case. Next, we want to turn to Malachi chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 6 to the end. We're trying to lay a bit of a foundation here for the message. It says in verse 6 of Malachi 1, verse 6, it says, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon my altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? And that ye say that the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil?" You know, it wasn't just a good suggestion that you don't do this, but he's saying it's evil. "And if ye offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it not unto your governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And I pray thee, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been your means. Will ye regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut up the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. From the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered upon my name, a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, and that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And ye say, and he said also, behold, what a weariness is it. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which is torn and lame and sick. And ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a meal, and voweth a sacrifice unto the Lord, a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. My name is dreadful among the heathen." So we see here in the last book of the Old Testament what the testimony of God was to the children of Israel. And that was that he was not pleased with them. They were offering things that he told them specifically not to offer. God was not pleased. Going against his word, profaning his name. But his name, he says, is going to be great. But by whom? The heathen, the Gentiles. Wow. Now this morning, we read here what the children of Israel, that they were supposed to go get a lamb. If they were going to bring an offering, it was to be a voluntary offering. Now let's imagine that there's two different men going out to their flocks to get a lamb for a sacrifice. They both have, this is imaginary, but to help us get a picture, maybe, of how this could have been. They both had around 50 sheep. Their financial status would have basically been about the same. The one, as he looks in his sheep there, as he looks over his herd, he is thinking of, wow, the sheep price is pretty good right now. And there's some of those sheep that are in there that are perfect sheep that they would bring a real good price at the market. The other, there's also some sheep in there that are, they're pretty bruised and beaten, and he wouldn't want to take one of those, but he'll take one that has a few scratches, and he wants to sell the other. And by the way, when he sells this sheep, these beautiful sheep that are perfect, he's going to put a little extra money in the offering box, right? Is that how humanity thinks in America today? I wonder. The other one, as he looks at his sheep, he's thinking, which of these would God that I take to the altar and sacrifice for him? He's not worried about anything else other than to pleasing the Lord. And he's wanting to bring a sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God. You know, in them two situations, somewhere in the middle, somewhere in those two situations, we're all sitting here this morning, giving our bodies as a living sacrifice for the Lord Jesus Christ. Somewhere in them two stories, we find ourselves. One is wondering what he can get back from it. And the other one is not worried what he's going to get back, but what is going to be pleasing unto the Lord. And I believe this is a little bit what Paul was thinking and considering as he wrote these verses. I think many times we can read them, or at least I can, and I can miss what Paul was actually telling us about here. Then there's a third scene. And in this scene, I don't believe it was like this, but let's imagine that it would have been. And this scene is in glory. This scene is in heaven. Here on earth, man fell and got into sin. And there is no way possible whatsoever for any man to spend eternity with God, except God comes up with a sacrifice that is pleasing to him. And as I thought of that, I thought of in Revelations there, where we read about the 4 and the 20 elders that are circling around the throne day and night, and they're crying, "Holy, holy, holy." And you think of the holiness that is there, and you think of the purity that is there, and you think of the beauty that is there. God looked at that and said, it's not good enough. It's not good enough for those sinful heathen men that have lost their way. It's not good enough. And then we see these four beasts, these beautiful beasts that God has created that are circling around the throne. Beautiful beasts that God has made, and they're worshiping him and praising him and its holiness and its purity. And God says, that won't do. We think of Gabriel and we think of Michael, two of the most beautiful creatures that God has ever created in heaven. Surely, but no. That will never do. That will never do. Then he looks at his son, and he knows this is the only thing that will ever be good enough of a sacrifice for the sin of humanity. I don't know what that does to us this morning. God spared not what was best to him for someone who turned their back on him. Now, he's given us a tremendous salvation, and he's asking us to give our bodies back to him as a living sacrifice. And as Paul says, it's just a reasonable service. It's the very least that we could do. A perfect lamb, the only lamb. And God says, here's my sacrifice for sin. Now, why was Jesus willing to give his life for us? Why was Jesus willing? I want to read Hebrews chapter 12, the first two verses. And this comes directly after we read of, in chapter 11 is the faith chapter. We read of Abel, we read of Abraham, we read of Sarah, we read of many of the saints of God. And he says this, wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, he's still talking to us at this point, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us with patience... And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and this is what I want, who for the joy that was set before him, what was the joy that was set before him? It was all the saints over time. That was the joy that was set before him. Let's finish reading here. That was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, on the throne of set at the right hand of the throne of God. So Christ, as he came to, he kept that picture in front of him. He kept that goal in front of him, that he's going to walk on this earth. He had 33 years that he gave his life for on this earth. And that was a joy that was set before him. And by the grace of God, he saw us here this morning. He saw you and I here this morning if we're going to be willing and faithful to the very end. He saw it brought joy to his heart to give his life so that we can be his bride in eternity. And is it not just a reasonable service to give back our life to him? A living sacrifice. So the first thing, that was the foundation. Now the first thing we want to look at this morning is, so what is a sacrifice? A look at a sacrifice. When we see, as we think in our mind of an altar with something on it that is going to get sacrificed, what are things that run through our mind that we see? Anyone can have any thoughts? What are things that we see as or in our mind? What are things that we think about as we think of a sacrifice? Anyone have any thoughts? I don't think there's any wrong ones. Blood. Blood. Death. Death. Something had to die. And whatever is on that altar had given everything that it could ever give. It had given all. It had given all. There was nothing more left to give. I think of pain. Somewhere along the line, the lamb got its throat cut. I think of pain. And you know something else I see? This is just in my mind's eye. Over here is my owner that has the capability of saving my life. And he stands there and watches the priest cut my throat. Think of that. Now, I know the lamb don't think like we think. But as we think of a living sacrifice, think of that. God allows pain to come to us because it's for our good. It's for our good. I could have thought, what did I do wrong? The other thing I think of, we had a picture of 50 sheep here, and the owner came and got one, and he brought it to the altar. Separation. He was separated. That lamb, he didn't have the other 49 around the altar here watching as I give my life. But there he was, all alone. And that's many times how it feels in a Christian life. You can feel all alone as we go through some of the struggles that we can go through. At the end, what was left? A little pile of ashes. Going back to dust, where we came from. A little pile of ashes. That's all that's left. Do you think that that is possibly what Paul had seen in his mind as he wrote these verses? I think it's very possible that he could have. Death to my dreams. We give until it feels we have no more to give. Pain times. Pain, and sometimes even from believers. All alone. Fire. And when I say all alone, think of Elijah. Here he was, and he says, Lord, here I am, and I'm all alone. I'm the only one left that is serving you. What did God tell him? No. He has preserved himself 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. That it's the feeling that we get. It's not reality that we're all alone. But it can feel that way. It can feel that way. We're all alone. Fire. It feels like we're going through the fire. And at the end, it looks like we have nothing but a pile of ashes. And Paul says, this is your reasonable service. You know, don't cry like this is some strange thing that has happened unto you. This is the normal Christian life. This is the way Christians ought to live. This is the way that mankind is supposed to live. This is the way they're supposed to bring glory to God, a living sacrifice. How does my sacrifice look this morning as I compare it with that? And it breaks my heart. Am I even on the altar as I think of a view of the biblical sacrifice? Have I ever been sacrificed even once? And yet he's not saying that we should do it once, but it's something that should be a day to day and ongoing thing. This is the way I should, not just something that happened to me in the past or something that might happen to me in the future. But as long as I'm a Christian, this is how I should live. This is really what should be happening. On the altar, I am not my own. I don't get to choose what I do. I don't get to choose where I go. I'm not my own. So whose are we? You know, it's easy for us to say, well, it's easy for us to say that I'm God's. I'm God's. But as a brother here, that how am I known to be? Am I known to be the one that is on the altar? Or am I known to be the one that pushes to get his own way and squirms when he doesn't get it? What is it? It challenges me. It's hard. It's easy to say, but not so easy to live. Giving our bodies as a living sacrifice. The body is the one that has the feelings and emotions. And I think the biggest struggle that we have is to get our will to stay on that altar. Our will. It's our biggest hindrance in our Christian walk. How do I get my will on the altar? Our love for God must be real. We must be like Christ, where Jesus' testimony was this: I only do those things which please my Father. That must be our goal. I only do those things which please my Father. That's a really, really high calling. Second point we want to look at is at your own will. If I'm in charge of even just one area of my life, I'm disqualified. It disqualifies all my other sacrifices because it would be considered a blemish. See, if I come with my sacrifice and there's still one area that I'm hanging on to, it's not something that God is pleased with. You know, I can put on my holy face and act all spiritual. But what did we hear God say in Malachi about the children of Israel? He said, "You've profaned my name." That is a hard saying. God hates a partial sacrifice. God is not well pleased if he doesn't have everything. It's an offering that is not holy if he doesn't get everything. It's like the man that brings the sheep that has blemishes. His desire for us is that our whole will we would give him all. I'm not in charge. And you know, when I'm not in charge, when I just give everything up, you can wonder, well, how is it ever going to work out? How is it ever going to work out? Who's going to be responsible? And one of the reasons that we come to that is because we don't believe that it can work. We don't believe it can work. And yet, it's something that God is asking us, is to just give our all to him. Just give our all. And so today, what are the three ways that God speaks to man? I think it's his word, by his spirit, and the church is one of his voices. And as we let's think of that today. And these three must line up. You know, we hear a lot of things that the Spirit says that don't line up with God's Word. And it's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God will always line up with God's Word. And when the church asks of us something, it also must line up with the Word of God. So this morning, could I give up my job that I enjoy if you all would ask me to give up my job? Could I do that? thinking of a voice that you are from God. Could I do that? Or am I my own? Whose am I? Could I be at peace? I need a vehicle. Could I be at peace with letting you all buy me a vehicle? And I just be at peace driving whatever you buy me. Do I have that peace? Or am I still in charge? What about my clothes? Would I be okay taking all my clothes out of my closet and you all put clothes back in there? Could I be okay with that? Or make, if you buy them or make them, would I be okay with that? Or whose am I? Am I still my own? Could I be at peace sent anywhere in all the world? You tell me where I am to go. Maybe Vietnam, North Vietnam, where I would never again be expected to come out of there alive. Would I be okay with that? Or whose am I? Am I a living sacrifice? Or do I have blemishes? What am I? Or is my sacrifice crippled and cut and full of bruises? You know, I also picture the three crosses. At one point they were laying on the ground, and on two of those crosses were two criminals. And there was screaming, and there was hollering, and they had to be held down as these nails were pounded into these criminals. On the other one, we picture the Son of God just laying down there. No one had to hold him. He just gave a living sacrifice. Which one better describes me as I think of me choosing my will, me choosing what I do, or am I really a sacrifice? What describes me best? One was a lamb without blemish, and the others were wolves. And we're very thankful one repented. But he had only had a few moments where he could truly give God glory in this life. Are we wanting to be a sacrifice? You know, it's easy for us to come to a conclusion that I'm the one that brings this perfect lamb. It's easy for us to somehow see ourselves better than what we are at times. And there's reasons for that. I can compare myself with others instead of Christ. Or, you know, most of the things I give up, but what about that one thing? You know, in this sacrifice, most things don't count. Either it had no blemishes, or it had a blemish. There was no middle. Either it had no blemishes, or it had a blemish. There was no half blemish. And that's how our sacrifice is. Either it's pure and holy without blemishes, or it has blemishes. There's no two other ways about it. Thinking of our lives being given as a living sacrifice unto God. And you know, that's what Jesus Christ is going to come back for. Is a bride that doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any kind of blemishes. That's what Jesus Christ is going to come back for. And that sacrifice, what kind of a sacrifice am I this morning? The third thing we want to look at is a sacrifice holy and acceptable. I pointed out there in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 21, where it said, it shall be perfect to be accepted. And so if we dissect that one sentence, if it is not perfect, it is what? It is not accepted. Thinking of what Paul might have saw as he wrote these words, a living sacrifice, that we would give our bodies as a living sacrifice. How does it look in 2025? Jesus said, I only do those things which please the Father. As we think of the Lord's Prayer that we pray at times, that God's will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, how am I helping that being accomplished? That God's will on earth is done like it is in heaven. And we've seen there the 420 elders that are falling down day and night worshiping God. And they're worshiping, and there's beauty, and there's praise, and there's holiness and purity. And we see all of those things. And how is my life reflecting how that prayer could be answered that we pray? God has no ill intent toward us, but He knows what is best for us. He knows that if I'm in control of my life, I will make a mess. But if I can wholly and completely just surrender to Him, there's lots of beauty that can come from that. And so He has no ill intent as we think of giving our lives completely to Him. Even though there's pain, it can feel like we're all alone, there's death to some of my dreams or all of my dreams, it can feel that way. But God is worthy. When God looked for a sacrifice, He didn't stop until He gave His best. And how is it fair to God if we only give part of a sacrifice? Or how about my Bible reading time? Do I give Him my best? Do I give Him what's left over? Is there blemishes? What about my prayer time? Let's think of a church outreach. Let's imagine that Bern Christian Fellowship is going to go 2 hours somewhere, and they're going to start up a church. We're going to have an outreach. And there could be a lot of discussion and dialogue. Who should be sent? As we think of a sacrifice, who should go, or who should the church send? The best? Keep the needy ones here. You know, it leaves us very vulnerable to lay on that altar and not squirm and kick. You know, if that is what happens, as we think of taking seven families and sending them out, and we send of the best, what I mean, there's no one here that is above another. We all have different needs. We have different gifts. There's things that God uses people differently. I understand that. What I mean by the best is, I think you understand what I'm saying. I don't think I'm going to try to say anything more. someone will have to pick up a lot of slack. And it could be very painful. And probably have to give it our all. And it could feel like we're walking through the fire. And you know, I think that one of the greatest reasons we struggle is because of our confidence towards God. We trust too much of our own abilities. We can do so much. But God wants us to forget what all we can do and just completely trust Him. Just completely trust Him. All of our hearts should be like Jesus, to do only those things which please my Father. And lay myself upon that cross or an altar without a kick or talking back. To try to live a life where I am not willing to totally give myself to whatever it might be is not a holy sacrifice, but a sacrifice with blemishes. You know, to get on the altar of God, to get on His altar, and we must expect pain when we're on the altar. We must expect death to my will. We must expect, but I also want to say, unless I scare you, there's no greater peace or no greater joy than to just surrender there. There's no greater peace or no greater joy. And I'm not saying that I've accomplished it, but I know it to be so. And to lay upon the altar of God takes a complete trust. Fear will keep us off the altar. Fear will keep us off the altar. Let's think of living and sacrifice again. How can we be living and yet be a sacrifice? Living sacrifice. God is calling us to be a living sacrifice. I had to think of Daniel. Daniel heard the decree go out that if you pray to anything else or anyone else except the king for X amount of days, I didn't go look at the scripture here again, but for X amount of days, they're going to get thrown into the lion's den. And as we think of that time, we read of about four young men who we find that are very serious about God in the story of Daniel. Daniel could have easily said, you know what? I better, for the sake of my people, I better be careful. I could get caught. You know, Daniel didn't expect to come out of that lion's den when he went in it. Daniel, in his mind, was a dead man. Daniel never expected to come out of there. Daniel, in his mind, was a dead man. You know, he could have made 1,000 excuses of why, for the sake of his people, that he should not do as he had done before times. But he didn't. He laid himself on the altar. And we have that blessed story this morning of Daniel. Who will help my brothers, he could have thought. You know, staying upon God's altar in human reasoning makes no sense. It makes no sense. But it is the only peaceful place for us to ever come to and have joy unspeakable. We could argue our way off the altar in a hurry in a case like Daniel's. I mean, stop and think of all the reasons why Daniel... We have the beginning of the story and we have the end of the story. If you only had the beginning of the story and you do not know the outcome of Daniel's story, what would be all the human reasonings why he should not be seen. The list can get really long. And they could be very good reasons. But it's not the will of, it's not God's way. God's way is that we stay upon the altar. Daniel's confidence was not in reasoning and abilities, but it was solely upon God, the only one who could save him. And like I said, when Daniel went into the lion's den, he never expected to get out. He never expected to get out. In his mind, he was food for the lions. See, it was God's job to deliver Daniel and not Daniel's. And really, it was Daniel's only safe place to be. It was Daniel's only safe place to be. There was no safer place for Daniel than in the lion's den at that time. He would have compromised tremendously to stay out of the lion's den. Fourth point, a renewing of our mind. See, all of our lives we grew up having to take care of ourselves. And the last part of the verse there, it says, not the last part, but the second verse there, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, our human, the way that we grew up, most of us grew up, we grew up taking care of ourselves, protecting ourselves, making sure that no harm comes to me. That's how we grew up. And God is saying, be not conformed to that world's type of thinking. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Give it all. Change that mind. It's a mindset that is not lined up with the Word of God. To give your best and all for the sake of the kingdom of God is not a worldly concept. And if that is not where our mind, I know that our minds, we want to do that, but if we've not trained our mind to, act on that, we have to renew our mind. It is not a worldly The world is in control of its own life. You can't tell me what to do. Or you can give, just don't give your best. Paul knew that would be a struggle. A struggle that we would have. He's saying, renew your mind. Why? So you can prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. You know, as long as I have life in my own hands, and as long as I am taking care of myself, what am I proving? God wants us to prove what is that perfect will of God by totally surrendering everything to the Lordship of Christ. Is the church wanting to go? Is the church wanting to go or do something that kind of irks the way I would like to do it? We can't really say it's wrong, but it's getting a bit into my freedom. And I know that we don't want to go back to the way that we were brought up. That is not what we want. But you know, the most people that are afraid, that are terrified of going back to the Amish, have a worldly mindset. And that is also not going to turn out right. Our minds need to be renewed. We need a different way of thinking. Now here's a story of a young man that most of you would know. This young man personally told me this story, his testimony. The church was wanting to take a certain direction on different things, and he struggled with it. And he fought it. And he fought it. And he struggled. And he fought it. And he struggled. To the place where he was like, okay, we need to move on. This isn't working. Then God got his attention in Hebrews 13 and verse 17. And it says this. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable unto you. And so the question that came to him is, are those that are looking out for my soul, can they do it with joy? And he knew they couldn't, because he's making it hard on them. He knew they couldn't. He said, okay. And so he told his wife that we're going to do what they say. We're going to submit, so at the least we can leave in a peaceful way. Does anyone want to guess what happened? He found joy that he didn't know he could have in submitting. He found peace in his life that he was fighting so hard for could never get. Today, he's helping the leadership. He is part of the leadership in that church. That was a testimony from a young man that fought so hard of getting some of his own way. And when he gave it up, he found freedom and joy that he never experienced before. Now, we understand that not everywhere, not all churches, not everywhere things are biblically based, and there's things that we can't go along with. So when I say the voice of the church must be in subjection to God's word and the Spirit of God. So remember that testimony of a young man. This is not something that I have now made up. I made up the little story of the man going out to his sheep flocks and looking at his sheep. That was a made up story. This was not a made up story. This was a testimony of someone that most of you would know. Very quickly, briefly, number five is, this is our reasonable service. We say we love God, and if that is truly so, it is only right, it's only reasonable that we give our life, that we lay our life on the altar and let it there. It's only the right thing to do. Are you yours or are you God? See, a half a lamb, someone that would have brought a lamb that was cut in half, would have never worked. And it will never work for me to be halfway on the altar. It will never work. God was not pleased if they would have brought a lamb that was blind, that had his eye jabbed out. God will never be pleased that if I give everything in my life but my one eye, he will never be pleased. He will call it profane. He will call it, is it not evil? He wants all of us. And the only reason he wants all of us is for our good. He has our best in mind. He has our best in mind. So So Paul says, it's only reasonable that I give my life as a sacrifice. In reality, he is saying, you know, you owe so much. You owe way more than you're ever going to pay. Way more than you could ever come up with paying. The very least that you could do, at the very least that we could do, is give our lives as a sacrifice for our God. That's the least we could do. That should be our reasonable service. God didn't keep his best from us. Will we keep our best from him? And let's remember, it will cost us everything. And we'll feel pain. And we'll feel all alone. But you will never feel, you will never experience greater joy or greater freedom or greater peace in your heart than being laying it upon the altar for God's sake. God bless you.